Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Come on, let's give Jesus a great clap offering tonight. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, everybody, lift your hands to God. We're going to pray right now. You know, the Bible says this, if you draw near to me, God speaking, he says, I will draw near to you. Right now, I want you to draw near to God. Father, right now, I pray that you will meet every single person tonight in this auditorium exactly where they're at. If they don't know you, may they have an encounter with Jesus Christ tonight. Father, whatever areas they're struggling in, Lord, we know you're going to meet every need and set every life free and touch each person in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. We draw near to you. We open our hearts so that we might receive what you're saying to us in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Let's give Jesus another big hand. Come on. I said a big hand. Come on. Awesome. Well, God bless you. Grab a seat, but give five people a high five or a chicken wing or whatever you do. Wow. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Hey, great to be with you. And don't tell Pastor Phil Pringle this, but it's great to be in the greatest church in the C3 movement. C3, San Diego, Central Campus. Don't tell Pastor Phil. God bless you. Well, I've been having a great time. I came over for the men's conference and also to see my grandson, my fifth grandson, baby Xavier with a Z, Alexander Peterson or Zap. I met him for the first time. He's 2.5 months old and it's awesome. But a lot and just great to come and be with you and be at our wonderful men's conference. It was absolutely incredible. And you know what, without further ado, I just want to begin to preach the Word of God. And I saw these wonderful people getting water baptized, and I saw one of the guys from Emerge Camp who looked like he was in the U.S. Marines. He had that hairstyle. He had that head. It was a bit like a jar head look about him. But he was one of America's finest. And to see him come to Christ, and it's just an incredible thing. But I want to say this. It's not how you start the race that counts. You know, I'm sure that particular brother has seen many people come to boot camp and they started well with dreams and expectations. They were going to be a U.S. Marine, but they never finished the race. To every person in this auditorium tonight, I want you to make a commitment that you're going to finish strong. You're not going to wash out, but you're going to be like the Apostle Paul said, who said this, I have run the race, but I have finished the course. And now a crown of righteousness is laid up for me. You know, I was at my granddaughter Bella's under-9 soccer team this afternoon. They were playing and they were down 3-0 to the top team, the San Diego Galaxy. They were down 3-0 and I was thinking, this is going to be 8-0. This is embarrassing. But you know what, Pastor Mark? Listen to your own sermon. It's not how you start that counts. It's how you finish. And they came back and won 6-5. There you go. Hey. So I'm going to be sharing 3 principles tonight that's going to help you finish strong. Stay in the game and be more than conquerors. Anybody want to hear this message? I'm the preacher. I can't wait to hear it myself. It's awesome. I just, here we go. Okay, I want you to turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34. And here, Jesus has been going around causing mayhem with the religious elite. He's been healing the sick. He's been raising the dead. He's been preaching the word of God. He's been casting out demons. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees decide to come against. The Sadducees have a go at him. And Jesus gets stuck into them and he says this. He said, and here's a key for you right now. He said to them, "You know neither the scriptures nor the power of God." And there's a key right there. I'm not even going to preach on that, but here's a key. If you want to go far into this tournament, if you want to go all the way, we've got to know two things. We've got to know the scriptures. But we've also got to know the power of God. And thank God for this church, Pastor Jurgen and Pastor John and the team. They're preaching the word of God every week, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when I first got saved and I became a Christian, before all you guys in the front, before you were born, literally when dinosaurs roamed the earth. That was because Led Zeppelin were the rock, big rock band, and they were like dinosaurs, you know, rock. In 1976, how many people weren't even born in 1976? That's the best response I've had to an older call, Pastor John, in years. And I got to say, but an older gentleman said this to me. He said, "Mark, always remember this. Too much word and you dry up. Too much spirit and you blow up. A combination of both and you grow up." Come on. We're going to get the balance right. Okay, but, and so the Pharisees said, right, we're going to go after you. So looking at verse 34 of Matthew 22, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, and look at this, he's an expert in the law. Turn to your neighbor and say, "An expert." Turn to your other neighbor and say, "In the law." He's an expert in the law. Now, this guy had been studying the Bible since he was a young child. He'd probably memorized the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He knew it all off by heart. He knew the commands. He knew the word of God. He thought, "I'm going to test Jesus. We're going to see, teacher, how good a teacher you really are." And he came to Jesus and he said this. He tested him with this question. And this is what I want to ask you today to stay in the game. Here it is. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Which is the greatest commandment in the law? I want to say this to you tonight, that life and longevity and staying in the game, young people, in Christianity, is a huge component of that is to get your priorities right. If we can order our life correctly, if we can set right priorities, and then if we can keep those right priorities, then you and I will not only be the people that God's called us to be, but we'll be able to do the things God has called us to do. Can we give Jesus a big hand? Come on. Priorities is all about priorities. And there's an American businessman, Stephen Covey, and he said these words, "The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing." That's why my sermon's called "The Main Thing." Do you want to know what the main thing is tonight? Come on, give me some love. You're a tough crowd, and I over here, they're tough over here, but they're really good over here. Do you want to know what the main thing is tonight? Okay, what's the main thing? Well, Jesus answered him, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And look what it says in 37. Underline this in your Bibles. It's awesome. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And the Gospel of Mark adds, "And with all your strength." And the second, it said, this is the first and the greatest commandment. This has to be, people, the number one priority for you and I tonight and for the rest of our lives. If you get nothing more out of tonight, it's this: love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love God. But there's more. Love your neighbor. There's a second like it. It's almost dead level. It's getting right up there. Love your neighbor. That's number two. Number three, as you love yourself. You've got to be able to love yourself. You know, I was preaching just third point first. I'm doing it out of order. Third point first. You've got to be able to love yourself. Now, when we had the photo of that team who won the big trophy, there's this African-American guy. Girls, I know you noticed him. Because every girl needs a ticket to the gun show. He was 6'7", and he ripped his shirt off at one stage, and he had muscles on his muscles. And I thought, what does this guy do? Is he a personal trainer or what? I went up to him, so what do you do for a job? He said, I'm a medical student. I thought, I hate people like that. Not only is he good looking, and you know, he's got it all going on. And I'm looking at myself, he's like maybe 21 or 31 years old. I'm 61 years old. He's 6'7". I'm 5'7". I'm thinking, Mark, you've got to learn to love yourself. And I look in the mirror, but how? How? You know, it reminds me of the time I was preaching in this church. God in the City is called, and it's this great church in the city of Sydney. And it's filled, it's just like this church here. It's filled with educated high achievers. And I'm looking around, and all these people, the vast majority of them, had been to college. And I dropped out after 1 week of college. And I'd love to be... It's super intelligent and super well educated, but I'm not. And then I looked over, and there, five rows back, is a professional athlete who's represented the nation of Australia in a sport. And I thought, I'd love to be a professional athlete and a professional football player like that guy, but I'm not. And then there's a guy on stage who's been playing guitar. And I know you find this hard to believe, but I'd love to have been a rock star. Oh, playing guitar, rock and roll. Oh, yeah. Come on, everybody, I'm the wild thing. Huh? I'd love to have done that, but I've got no talent. And then worse, there's a guy sitting in the second row who's a male model, who's in ads on TV, and I'm driving along, and a bus goes past with this guy just wearing a pair of shorts on the beach, and he's in the church, and he's with his model girlfriend. And I'm thinking, if only I was good looking. But I fell out of the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. You know what? And there's all these businessmen, they're millionaires, sitting in the front row. Oh, if only I had more money. You know what? I'm not a businessman. I'm not a super well-educated person. I'm not a professional athlete. I'm not a rock star. I'm not a male model. I'm not anything. But you know what? I've got to be happy with who I am. I've got to be comfortable in my own skin. I'm a preacher of the Word of God. I've got to learn to love myself. I got to be comfortable in my own skin and be who God's made and do what God's called me to do. Don't be intimidated if someone's taller or better looking than you. I say to our Bible college, anybody doing our online Bible college, by the way, I do the Old Testament on that. But I say to my college students all the time, to break through in church life and to survive church life, You've got to overcome disappointments. And I said to them, every time I look in the mirror, I get disappointed. I'm only joking. Come on, give me some love. I'm okay with myself, okay. But we've got to love ourselves. But that was point three, but hey, who cares? Okay, but firstly, well, let's go back to point one. Jesus said to this guy, he was an expert in the law. And the Pharisees and the Jews said this, they'd counted the amount of commands in the Old Testament. There's 613 commands in the Old Testament. And he's saying to Jesus, okay, out of the 613 commands of the Old Testament, which is the most important one? Which is the greatest thing? And you know what? It's the great thing about this is that Christianity is easy. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's easy. Come on. It's not rocket science. Because if it was rocket science, only rocket scientists could be saved. Have we got any rocket scientists here tonight? I didn't think so. Oh, we have. Oh, yeah. There's one in every crowd. You've ruined my sermon. Christian, but you'll be pleased to know tonight, Christianity isn't rocket science. Jesus said these words, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. My yoke is what? My burden is? It's light. It's easy. God doesn't set you up for failure. God sets you up for success. God makes it so that the most underprivileged person in the world can meet Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and love them with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and all their strength, as well as the smartest scientist or stock trader in New York. It makes absolutely no difference because we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And all you got to do is love God. It's awesome and it's easy. But you got to love God with all you've got. David said these words, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Guys, I want to stir up your passion tonight. There's people here, you've been saved for years, and you're starting, in the words of Austin Powers, to lose your mojo. Yeah, baby, yeah. Oh, don't lose your mojo, baby. Don't lose it, baby. No, you're wild. God wants you wild, baby, wild. Yeah. But that word mojo, it's magic. It's the sense of wonder and excitement. Now, and it's like Ephesians 5, I won't go into it, but Paul said this, husbands, love your wives. Then he says this, as Christ loved the church, giving himself for her. And he goes through the quintessential New Testament passage on marriage, equating the relationship between a man and a woman with the relationship between God and the church. Therefore, the same principles for a healthy marriage can be applied to our walk with God, and the same principles we have for a healthy walk with God can be applied to our marriage. And he wrote that to the church at Ephesus. Now, how did the Ephesians go in loving God? How did they go in responding to the words of the Apostle Paul? Well, we should check out the second letter to the church at Ephesus. So can you turn your Bibles to the second letter to the church at Ephesus, please? Hang on. There isn't one. See, I'm an Old Testament lecturer. I know nothing about the New Testament. But actually, there is one. There is a second letter to the church at Ephesus. It's found in Revelation chapter 2. And there, John, Jesus speaking through the Apostle John, says to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. And he said this, I know your hard work. I know your diligence, your perseverance, your labor, and how you expose false apostles and you turn away from wrong teaching. And everything the church at Ephesus did, they did correctly. Everybody say correctly. They did it right. They did it correctly. And you think, wow, this church is fantastic. This church is on fire. This church is going to be great. But Jesus wasn't happy with the church. Because being in control isn't what God wants. He wants us to be in love. He doesn't want your C3 Church San Diego to be in order primarily. He wants it to be in love with Jesus primarily. That's why we've got to keep the main thing, and love God with all our heart, our mind. Come on, give me some love tonight. I'm struggling. Oh, yeah. It's awesome. How are you going? And he says this, after commending them, he says in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, listing all their accomplishments, he said, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. You've forsaken your first love. You haven't kept the main thing. The main thing. You see, religious people think this. If they obey all the commandments of God, that will mean that they love God. Christianity is the polar opposite of that. Christianity says this, if you love God, you will obey His commands. And there is a huge difference. We're not called to be correct. We're called to be in love. That person who came to Jesus, remember him? What was his title, the title I gave him? He was what? He was everybody say expert. He was an expert in the law. You know what he should have been? He should have been an expert in love. He should have been an expert in loving God and loving people. But he wasn't. And so here we go. Now, people here today, if you started to slip and you didn't quite have that passion you used to have for God, three principles are going to come up in a minute. But I'll just tell you one thing. Way, way back, now this is last century, in 1979, I went out on a date with the girl who was going to become my wife and later the mother to Pastor Summer, right? And I went out on this date and we went out and we went to a Chinese restaurant and we drove home. And then, anyway, we'll move on. But anyway... And then next day I went to work. I was a Christian guy, I love God, and I sat with a whole bunch of Christians at the lunch table. And I went in and I sat down and there was an old guy looking at me across the table and he said, have you got a girlfriend or something? I said, how do you know? He said this, I can see it in your eyes. Here's a question for your relationship with God. Can they see it in your eyes? Can they see it? Can they see it in your eyes? For those of us who are married tonight, can they see it in your eyes? You're still in love with that girl. You're still in love with that guy as much as when you saw them walk down the aisle to you. Can they see it in your eyes? Because Christianity isn't about duty. It's about love. It's about loving God. It's about loving people. And here's three steps to getting your groove back out of the book of Revelation. He said, verse 5, remember. Now, I'm a Pentecostal preacher. All the points have to start with the same letter. So the three R's. The three R's to personal revival. Glory to God. Yeah. Okay. Here it comes. Here it is. Number one. Remember, this is verse 5, Revelation 2. Remember the height from which you have fallen. What was it like when you first met Christ? Can you remember? Those people who got baptized tonight, they're full of passion. They're full of the love of God. We need to remember what it was when we first encountered God. When we realized Jesus is real and we were floating on air and people could see it in our eyes, we need to remember the height from which we've fallen if we're struggling right now. Point two, second R, repent. You know what repentance is? God, I'm sorry. I'm going to change the direction that I'm walking in. I'm going to change my way of thinking. I'm going to change my priorities. I'm going to keep the main thing. The main thing. Repent. And the third thing, restore. Look what it says here. Do the things you did at first. I'm going to restore the things I did at first. Husbands with wives, go out on that date night. Drop the kids at the grandparents and don't tell them. Just the grandparents open the door, there's a knock, there's the kids with the sleeping bag. They look up, you're driving down the street to that hotel in downtown San Diego. You know what I'm talking about. Come on. Do the things you did at first. It's awesome. Love God. Be a lover of God. And reprioritize your life around God and His kingdom. And my second point, which is really third in order, you got to love God. You got to love yourself. But listen, secondly, you got to love people. I'm going to tell you a story in closing, and I cry every time I tell the story. February the 3rd. 1943 is celebrated as Four Chaplains Day in the United States of America. Because on February the 3rd, 1943, there's a ship called the Dorchester with thousands of US soldiers going to World War II. They've been warned that they're in a U-boat zone. It's very dangerous. They've got to sleep with their life jackets on. Three torpedoes are fired. One hits the ship. It begins to sink. And there's four chaplains. And it sounds like a bad joke. There's a Catholic, a Jew, and two Protestants. It's true. And these men are on the ship. Their names are John Washington, a Catholic priest, Alexander Good, a Jewish rabbi, George Fox, and Clark Poling, Christian ministers of the gospel. The men swarm up onto the decks. The four chaplains are standing there, directing the men to the lifeboats. But some of the guys downstairs, it was very hot, they took their life jackets off. New converts today, don't take your life jackets off, okay? But anyway, they came up, they had no life jacket. They handed out the rest of the life jackets. The four chaplains, I need some tissues, look out. No, the four chaplains looked around, they realized they were short on life. They took off their life jackets. They put them on these men. They sent them into the lifeboats and over the side of the ship. And the survivors of the ship, as they rowed away or swam away, they looked, and the four chaplains were standing there, arm in arm, praying and worshiping God. Jesus said these words, "Greater love has no man than he lays down his life for his friends." That was personified in the person of Jesus Christ. And that example needs to be personified. That baton needs to be passed on to the church today. And you know what? It's easy, my friends. Let's rearrange our priorities to love God, to love people, to love ourselves. You know what? It's impossible in our own strength. Jesus said the love of God, or Paul said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Zechariah says it's not by might or power, it's by my Spirit. I'm going to pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will come and fill every person in this room with a fresh love for God tonight. A fresh love for people and a fresh love for themselves. Can we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Right now, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, but our hearts, you close your eyes, but I want you to open your hearts to God tonight. And I want to ask if there's people here, you've never met Christ, you've never met Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Someone maybe brought you along tonight and you're saying, you know what? I need to love God. I need to live for Jesus. Or maybe you've been away from God. You're brought up in a Christian home, but you've been away from God. You need to get right with God tonight. Or maybe you're uncertain of where you'd spend eternity if you passed away tonight. Where would you go? Have you got the same certainty as the four chaplains who worshiped God as they went into the last moments of their lives? Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If that's you, in a moment of time, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. Tonight, I want to meet Jesus as my personal. I want you to get ready. And I want you just simply to raise your hand. I'll see it. I'll acknowledge it. On the count of three, please raise your hand and give your life over or back to Christ. On the count of one, two, three. Why don't you raise your hand right now? Lift your hand. I see that 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 hand. Who else is there tonight? Yes, there's another hand up here. There's another person over here. Thank you. Yeah, hands up down the front. Hands up there. Sir, God bless you. God loves you. He thinks you're fantastic. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. Jesus Christ, young man, has a plan for your life. He's got a plan for my life. You can love God. You can love other people. And God gives us the ability. Thank you. I see that hand and that hand. An ability to love ourselves also. Could we all please stand to our feet? I just want to ask, now listen, a bunch of people put their hands up. Young people, can you just go back and stand with the pastors in the front row or just move to one side? I'd like to ask all those people who raised their hands, I'd like to shake your hand. I'd love to meet you and pray with you in person this evening. Please, could you just come forward right now? I want to meet you and shake your hand. Could you just come, sir? Could you just come, guys? Please come right now. Young man. Christian, that's a great name. Who else is there? Why don't you come tonight, sir? What's your name, sir? Vince. God bless you, Vince. Come and stand. Sir, what's your name? Alex. Come on. What's your name, mate? Jeremiah. Yeah. Dennis. Dangerous Dennis. Praise God. Anybody else? Come on, let's give these guys a great round of applause. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Hello. Hello, God. What's your name? Tony Schiffer. Okay, right now, what we're going to do. Well, who's this good looking? What's your name, sir? Carlos. Carlos. What's your name? Dennis. Dangerous Dennis, yeah. Okay, dangerous to the devil, this guy. Okay, we'll be in 5 minutes anyway. Can we just pray together, guys? It's not rocket science. Hello, who's this lovely? Have we got time just to wait for another couple of people to come forward? Hello, what's your name? Esther, yeah. You got a whole book named after you in the Bible, darling. Yeah, okay, what we're going to do right now, we're just going to pray a simple prayer. And what you're doing is you're opening your heart and you're asking Christ to come into your world. And then one of our team will make an exchange with you. We've got a response lounge. You're going to follow this guy in the black t-shirt and they're just going to give you a Bible and just get some details from you. But you know what? This is completely up to you. Christianity, it's all about just being prepared and open to God. We love you. We want the best for you. So can we just, come on, let's all pray this together. If you put your hand up or didn't put your hand up, you should have. Just pray this prayer. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, I want to say that again. Lord Jesus, I ask you tonight to come into my life, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, to be my friend. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. I want to live for Jesus Christ. Help me to serve you. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.